History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by the U.S. Army, proudly honoring the men and women from every branch of our armed forces whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some stories there right around you that really need to be told. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along that journey, we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, and so often we end up inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. Today, I'm in Fresno, California with 93-year-old Stan Filgus, a Navy veteran of World War II. You've been in Fresno a long time, Stan. I bet you've seen this place change a little bit.
Yes, it's changed a lot from what we did.
Well, and you grew up with a fairly big family. You had a brother who also served in World War II and three sisters. What was life like? What do you remember about those 1920s and 30s when you were growing up?
Well, we used to go to church and make ice cream after that. We kind of looked forward to Sunday. Not an exciting situation. We were just a family trying to make it through.
Do you remember the Depression years as being any different from the time before or after? Was that a tough time for your family or no?
I think it was a hard time for them, but I remember my dad was very strict with us. In fact, we were kind of scared of him.
Well, sometimes when you were in elementary school, you had to go work with your dad. Is that true?
Yeah, he had to go help him with the floors. My brother had to help too, same way. Young, 10 or 12. Nowadays, you can't get by with that. But my dad took all the help he could get, make a living.
What would you guys do?
Well, he scraped the edges of the hardwood and blended in. Scraping it gives it a certain texture, but when you blend it in, it all looks better. That's what we try to do.
And did the school ever notice that you were missing some time there because you're helping your dad?
Well, my brother got called on the carpet because of his absence. And my dad asked him, how are his grades? Well, he's straight A. Well, that was good enough for my dad.
I'm always curious what kind of ambitions someone had as a kid, because you don't know there's a war coming. I don't think you were dreaming, hey, someday I'm going to open up a carpet store with my brother. What were your dreams when you were a kid? What was that ambition you had?
I liked sports. Went to ball games and all that. They were important to me. We all tried to help each other through life.
And you played a little football for the Roosevelt Rough Riders. What position did you play?
I was a linebacker and a center. The reason I got to be a center and so small was a coach said, you get the ball going at the right time. And that was important.
How much did you weigh?
147. I had some bigger guys around me, but I really didn't think that was too bad. I held my own. I was fast, and I learned the plays. So I was supposed to be a lightweight, and the coach says, no, you're going to go up to the varsity when I was a junior. So that's what I did. I was a sprinter on top of that.
Leather helmets?
Leather helmets, yes. It was a lot of fun. We had a very good team. That's the first time we ever beat Fresno High. Spalding Wathen was the quarterback. He came from St. John's Catholic School as a senior transfer, and he was very good. We really got him. It was a real celebration. They didn't like getting beaten. It made a real rivalry. That's what I can remember about high school is football.
I want to ask you about something before that. So your birthday's in December, right?
December 7th, 12/7/25. That's my birthday.
Well, everybody seems to remember something about December 7th, 1941. But that was your 16th birthday, and the 16th birthday present wasn't exactly what you imagined. What do you remember about that day?
I remember that we were shooting squirrels at Academy. We were coming back, and the radio was on, and they talked about things burning, and what were they talking about? And then it said the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. I says, oh, hell. And I had a Japanese kid with me, Frank Yamamura, and he says, oh, that will last 3 months. And he was wrong. And I did think he served, I think, maybe in Italy. Then I went to school. The teacher said to Franklin D. Roosevelt and all that, that there's a war with Japan. And the ag teacher says, you fellows are going to be in it. All of you will. So I said, what? Yep. So we had a fight.
Well, and you said, I mean, as this is unfolding, on that day, you're off squirrel hunting, and one of the guys with you hunting is a Japanese-American, your friend Frank. I'm sure he wasn't the only Japanese-American student you had at Roosevelt High, right?
They were there, and they had pride for their country.
Yeah, and I am always curious, because I didn't live through that. And it's kind of unique to this part of the country that there was a large Japanese-American population, first of all, and it was only those on the West Coast that got displaced and sent inland. So this was one of the places where that happened.
Frank was a good guy. I didn't care if he was Japanese or what, but he was a nice guy. As far as looking forward to how long the war would be, I didn't do that. I had to wait as it went along how long it would last.
Yeah, so how did that unfold that you ended up in the Navy?
The principal said that in spite of what you fellows think, we're not really winning this war yet, really. And he said the home front has now made ships, airplanes, and we need men now. And you're all in the senior class, you men are, and if you sign, get in there, give them help, we'll mail you a certificate, graduation. Yeah. So I said, I am going to fight for the country. And I meant it.
Well, you meant it. How did your parents feel about it? Because they would have to sign off on this idea if you're going to go in underage.
Of course, my mom, she was very protective. Mothers are. My dad says, oh, I signed for you. So he spoke broken English.
I didn't ask you about that part with your parents. Were they immigrants here?
They're from Czechoslovakia, Moravia. It's a really amazing story of how that all went. My dad, he had to go to a German camp. They wanted him to fight for Germany. And my dad says, I'm not going to fight for Germany. He balked. And he kept looking at the fence and some German guy says, don't look at that, shorty. He says, you ain't going no place. And my dad said to himself, you can't keep me forever. And finally, he calmed down a little bit. They thought they had it in pretty good shape. My dad finally went to the town. They let him go to town, and he immediately got a ride to the shipyard, come to United States. And it went to Galveston. It was clear across the country. And he finally got back to Fresno. First he went to Corcoran. Corcoran, he called it. Corcoran. And he wanted to be helping the farm. And he went for my mother later. And she came with my aunt. My sister was 6 years old. And that's how they did.
So just to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, the Germans were trying to conscript him into the German army. He said, I'm not fighting for them. And if he didn't take that stand, I mean, number one, you might never have been born because he could have been killed fighting in World War I. Number two, you might have been born over there and ended up on the other side of this war, huh? Have you ever thought about that, how different things might have been?
I didn't really get into that too bad. He did a lot of maneuvering. It seemed like he made the moves that he got where he wanted to go.
And so fast forward now, World War II, it's your senior year at Roosevelt High, and the principal says, hey, you guys are going to have to go fight now. We'll send you your diploma later. And you believed him, and you joined the Navy, and your dad says, I'm not standing in your way. But you were just 17 years old?
I was 16. I was a 16-year-old senior. My mom started me early. All along, they wondered why I was so young when I was trying to be a football player and all that, because I had a head start.
What were your expectations for the Navy? Did you have an idea in your mind of what it was going to be like?
I don't know if I did, but the Navy looked good to me. I just thought, look, these ships are nice and all that. I could go in there. I worked on tractors and things, and they asked me what I wanted to get into, and I said, well, I wanted to be a gunner's mate. They had a song in those days, down went the gunner and the gunner's mate, and I said, I'm going to be a gunner.
Did you have an idea of what kind of ship you wanted to serve on?
A destroyer, yeah. That name sounds good to me, a destroyer. We're in war. I'll take that on.
Did you know what a destroyer's purpose was, though?
Yes, I did. I knew that they were smaller than the big battleships, but they were the Greyhounds of the Pacific. That's what they called them. And tin cans, because they weren't heavily armored. They're little thin, and they were fast.
They were also on the outer lines of defense. I mean, you're there to protect the bigger ships. Yeah. Which means you're pretty expendable in the Navy's eyes, right?
That's right. The aircraft carriers had to be taken care of. We chose the air, and the Japanese chose to use the shells, and they were wrong. They made a mistake.
And your destroyer, the Wedderburn, DD-684, what was your introduction to the Wedderburn? What was your first impression on that ship?
Well, it wasn't quite ready to go to overseas. We were finishing cleaning the guns, getting them ready before we could go overseas. And one day it came time, we went through all that stuff, and we went under the Golden Gate, seasick. And we all got seasick. And I thought, this is a heck of a life. And I heard one of the officers talk to another one, and he says, we really had a good one to test the boys on, didn't we? So it was rougher than normal.
Well, and that makes you a plank owner, right? You're part of the original crew?
Yes, I was. Plank owner. And I wasn't in the Navy Reserve. I was in the USN. They had a different... The Reserves had put the R. It was kind of an honor to be a USN.
And what was your duty? What were your assignments aboard the ship?
It was to take care of that gun. I was a gun captain. And I was responsible. I had, let's see, there was about six of us in the turret and some below the turret to put the ammunition up above. Everything had to click. They inspected it a lot, and we expected it. And if you were out of line, they would let you know it in front of a group. I mean, people. I ain't going to do that. And that's how that turned. When you go to a destroyer, that's your home. And nobody insults your home. You have everything neat, so you look good. Clean, no rust, no sleeping on the job, and don't try to outsmart everybody. They had all of that in there.
And you told us you were a gun captain, but you didn't say what kind of gun. What kind of gun was that?
5-inch, 38. The bore's 5 inches at 38 caliber is the length of the barrel. So it had two names.
And I know, you know, we don't have a sound effect here, but I'm wondering if you can describe or help us understand what it sounds like and feels like when that gun fires.
It's kind of scary. It's noisy, and it's a new thing in your life. When you go to that gun range, they start shooting this thing, and you got a fuse setter, and you got all different things in there, and they have to master their part. And I had to see that they did.
And I guess I should ask you this. I mean, we're talking about firing a gun that can do a lot of damage. But there's going to be other things that are flying your way. So when you said goodbye to your family and you headed overseas on that ship, did you think you were going to come back and see him again, or did you have your doubts?
There's a certain amount of attention in the Navy, on the water and all, but seemed like things went good for me. I thought I'd get back. Hoped they would.
And now we know he did. But you haven't heard what he had to make it through just yet. Stan Filgus, just a teenager then, was part of the original crew of the destroyer USS Wedderburn, which would accumulate 7 battle stars during World War II. Find photos of Stan and his ship at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Put $250 in a savings account and you'll start earning dividends. Who else is going to do that for you? And access? So easy. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Again, the website myeecu.org, or just pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.